This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're just joining us, just want to turn the page. I just do. Teams fined $250,000. Jeff Ulbrich fined $100,000. Today, he addressed the media. We're going to let you hear that. We're also going to hear from our offensive coordinator, who we've not heard from here this offseason. Let Jeff and, you know, our OC tell you they were very involved in this draft. Now, the irony is, you say, well, how can an OC be involved in a defensive draft for the most part when we drafted all these defensive guys? Because he's still evaluating guys that, you know, he could take advantage of, or how they play and how teams have played them in college. Like, you still want an evaluation, but it's not as if he wasn't in the room. So we've heard that from Jeff Ulbrich specifically, Mike, but we're going to hear from both Zach and him coming up here on the show. 404-726-0929. Guys, if you missed Cody Benjamin, go rewind talking about the Falcons. He liked what we did. He explained why. I think it makes plenty of sense. But, Mike, he brings up the one thing that we continue to talk about, and that is the value of what we did to go get James Pierce Jr.
As we say, guy, no risk it, no biscuit. But this guy, man, there'll be all eyes on Pierce. The good news is, if you got everything right the last 2 or 3 years with defense, with some of the guys we haven't been able to contribute just yet, maybe we got this defense, which all of a sudden, from being one of the biggest liabilities for years, becomes a positive. But you're right. I mean, by the way, do you have a number, you have a benchmark in your head for what you need to see from Pierce this year?
15.
Okay.
No, I'm joking.
I mean, I'll take six. I'll take eight. Eight's a nice round number.
Yeah,
eight.
I'm not going to put that kind of pressure on the kid. Look, I don't think, because now we have multiple guys that can get after it, he doesn't have to have 15 to be successful. But you're right. I do think he needs to be in that 8 to 10 range.
Well, I mean, because with all due respect, if he puts up the same numbers that, you know, Arnold Ebiketie did in his first year. And again, Arnold's been a solid piece, and every year he gets better and better.
Well, what if he pops because of all this stuff?
Because a rising tide, whoop, raises all the ships.
That's right.
Ebiketie went for 2.5 sacks the first year, then 6 and 6. And that's where he's kind of been like a solid second-round piece. But when you move heaven and earth, and we did – you really do have an like. I'm not trying to, you know, put even more pressure on the young man, but you know he needs to rip.
Yeah, I'm not gonna say 15. That's a little bit excessive.
How about 8?
Because if he does, then.
But I mean, but like,
then we're talking about something
special. When you look at what the Rams did 2 years ago in their second and third round picks, and then what they did last year with Verse and Fisk.
But most, yeah, but they had multiple guys who had multiple sacks.
Right.
It was like 5 guys with 7 or 8 or 9. Right. It wasn't just one dude dominating.
But we've never drafted that guy save for, you know, Patrick Kearney and Vic Beasley.
Yeah.
You know, and Abraham was a free agent, man, back in the day.
We're going to see, guys. Big O's behind the glass. He is our engineer, of course, day-to-day executive producing. Let's get to our daily download.
It's time for Dukes and Bell's Daily Download.
You've got mail.
All the stories you need to know about the world of Atlanta sports in bite size.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Story number one.
Let's hear Jeff Ulbrich addressing the media today. He said he was shocked, by the way, when finding out that his son had prank called Shedeur Sanders and immediately tried to get in contact with the Sanders family on top of contacting the Falcons.
First of all, I'd like to publicly apologize to Shedeur and the Sanders family for what occurred. Second of all, I want to publicly apologize to Mr. Blank, Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, and the entire Falcons organization. My actions of not protecting confidential data were inexcusable. My son's actions were absolutely inexcusable. And for that, we are both deeply sorry. The NFL has taken action, and I fully respect the punishment. We take full responsibility, my son and myself, and we will not be appealing the fine in any way. Going forward, I promise my son and I will work hard to demonstrate we are better than this. Again, I'm deeply sorry for our actions. Yeah, obviously not happy and shocked. And so I made the Falcons aware of the situation, and then our next course of action was to try to get a hold of the Sanders family so we could apologize in person, which we were able to do. The Sanders family, Shedeur, and and Coach Sanders were amazingly gracious, more gracious than they needed to be in a moment like this. They've been challenging, but, you know, we brought this upon ourselves, you know, and the fact that I didn't protect the data well enough and my son did something, obviously he has a great amount of regret.
Jeff Ulbrich, defensive coordinator for our Atlanta Falcons. And look, as just a parent, every parent can understand him saying the things that he just said. As a coach, Mike, you are disappointed, and I'm guessing. What do you think Arthur Blank said? We don't know, but what do you think he said? Because that's who he has to answer to.
To paraphrase Danny Glover in Lethal Weapon, I'm getting too old for this spit. Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't need this. I don't need this. I got enough aggravation. Think I need this on my watch? Let's go. You know, so yeah. I mean, Arthur probably just literally like, you know, because you got to be. I mean, it's like, you see Arthur. You know, eye roll. Are you kidding me? So yeah. I mean, like as we said, Jeff. Look, he's a stand-up guy. He's a guy's guy. You know, played in the NFL, and he's, you know, what can you do? You just take it on the chin and you move on. You know, and as we said, I mean. This too shall pass. It's just tough because, as we said, we just why can't like the Falcons? Why can't we have nice things? You know, anytime we have something which feels so good, we're feeling warm and fuzzy about the draft, and then and the sidebar. So look, at the end of the day, hopefully Shador Sanders goes and kicks ass in Cleveland, wins that starting job, and everybody who felt like, oh, so apparently he's been shot or wounded, and will realize it was just a draft pick that slid because of some actions his family took. But this became a different conversation about this. And by the way, Cooper DeJean got pranked. Tyler Warren got pranked, the tight end, you know, out of Penn State. There were a lot of other guys.
Abdul Carter.
Abdul Carter, we found out today, got pranked. It was told he was speaking with Jacksonville. So, but unfortunately, you know, Shador is in the limelight, and that's the only thing that anybody on ESPN wants to talk about.
All right, guys. Also today, as I told you they would early in the week, Drake London's fifth-year option was picked up. there was no date on when they were going to do it. Excuse me. It was just a matter of, you know, the timetable, Mike. And they had time to do this, but what are we waiting on? You know you want Drake. You know he's going to be here. You know you want to pick up his fifth-year option, and it's a smart thing to do. And now we can move forward knowing this, Mike, and also – potentially start working on a long-term deal probably after this season when you start talking about, you know, what the long-term future and viability is for Drake London. That is something the Falcons absolutely had to do.
Yeah, man. And again, he's done a fantastic job and probably would have a few more 1,000-yard season under his belt if not for, you know, just a really bad quarterback situation that he came into as a draft pick.
No doubt. Let's get to story number two.
Story number two.
Braves win again, baby. They won 9 of their past 11, 8-2 last night over the terrible Rockies. It was all about Money Harris, who drove in 3 runs.
Kind of peel that back a little bit. Michael Harris liner to right center, and it gets by Moniak all the way to the wall. 2 RBI double for Michael Harris, and Atlanta grabs the lead in the second.
I said it on Twitter last night or this morning when I watched the end of the game on DVR. Man, that Moniak is a freaking butcher. I mean, you know, you forget, you know, what the Braves were like before we made the jump from Turner Field to Truist Park. I mean, you know, you go through those transitions and you reset. But the Rockies, I mean, that's one of the worst baseball teams I've ever seen.
Ever.
And I was a kid that got to watch the Mets in the 70s.
Ever. I thought the White Sox were bad last year. This team is worse. So I don't know if they win 25 games. I'm being serious.
I mean, you go back and you think about like some of the worst teams of all time. You talk about those White Sox, the 62 Mets, an expansion team. My God. And that ballpark, the cool thing is, it's such a cavernous park, we were doing it without the long ball. You know, because that's always, you always feel if the Braves don't hit the home run, they don't win, but they found a way.
They did. Orton just said, good thing weed is legal up there. Let's get to story number three.
Story number three.
What was going on in the NBA playoffs last night? Knicks lost a game that they probably should have won. That series is now 3-2, New York. You've got the Clippers and Denver now 3-2 after, you know, Denver beats them. Mike, it's one of those things where you go, all right, what's going on? But the night really was about Milwaukee and Indiana. Indiana, they win the game, guys, but that's not even the story. So let's first hear Tyrese Haliburton hitting the go-ahead layup. This is how the game basically ended.
Here comes Haliburton. Hits the timeline with 7. Outside the arc with 5. Driving in the lane at the goal. He lays it in with 1 3/10 seconds to go. Milwaukee has no timeouts. They have to go the length. Ball is going to be played in by Antetokounmpo. He gets it to Trent. And this one is over.
Yeah, man, and that one was unbelievable. And unfortunately for Milwaukee, just an amazing comeback. And, I mean, to sit there, and it was on NBA TV. So if you're looking for it, you know, I know we're used to seeing some of the bigger games on TNT.
Couldn't find it.
They're trying to get you to watch NBA Network. But that's why that went down. But I just thought if you go and you watch, who knew that was such a heated rivalry, right? It's sort of become a thing now between the Pacers and the Bucks. But last night, if you didn't see it, a guy who helps get the Bucks almost gets the win, Gary Trent, has the ball, goes through his hands. I mean, literally threw, hit him right in the hands. It was a low pass. And then he's just sitting there stunned. It was just unbelievable. He had two turnovers in the overtime.
So that's the game. And then Giannis Antetokounmpo is standing on the court. Here comes Tyrese Halliburton's dad. His name is John. And he's waving this big, huge flag, and he's talking to Giannis. And after the game, Giannis talked about this interaction, which this is the part, guys, is getting all the pup.
I believe, like, being humble in victory, that's how I am. Now there can be a lot of people out there that are like, no, when you win the game, it's a green light for you to be disrespectful towards somebody else. I disagree. I've won the championship. They haven't, okay? And that doesn't say anything. I'm not trying to minimize their effort. But losing the game, emotions run high, having a fan, which at the moment I thought he was a fan, but then I realized he was Tyrese's son, which I love Tyrese. I think he's a great competitor. He was his dad, sorry. Coming in the floor and showing me his son a towel with his face. This is what we do. This is what we effing do. This is what the F we do. This, I feel like that's very, very disrespectful.
I mean, they shook hands. Next thing you know, they're going forehead to forehead. I mean, it's almost like in European soccer, showing tremendous. I don't know how you can have your forehead on another dude's forehead and start swinging on the guy. But luckily for Halliburton's dad, Giannis did not start swinging because that would have been over pretty quick. But yeah, get your dad off the court. I don't know if alcohol was involved or just he runs hot. But either way, man, you got if that's a fan, you're banned for life. You know, it's just ridiculous, man.
It is ridiculous. And here's the part, Mike. These parents, a lot of them, AAU, college, mm-hmm. Your kid gets to the NBA.
Oh, yeah.
All these moms and dads are sitting courtside.
Whether living vicariously to their child.
Correct. Whether you realize it or not, they're all sitting around. And if you go to enough games, you start to realize, oh, that's such and such his mom. Oh, that's his niece. Oh, that's his uncle. These guys are always around. And the point is, they feel like they're on the team. So when the team wins, a lot of times they're on the court, they're flossing, they're shaking hands as if they just played. You didn't play. You didn't hit a jumper. Sit your ass down somewhere and relax and be a parent, man. And I saw this last night, and I'm like, you're right. He walked up on the right dude because easily if you found me in that moment where I just lost right. another series.
Pow.
I'm probably – this is my last game in Milwaukee because we're not winning anything. Right. You know that. And in the back of my mind now, I got this dude, I don't care who he is, waving this flag in my face. That should have been easily a situation where he could have been hurt. Either way, Mike, last night this became a huge deal on Inside the NBA.
I think that's why you're an idiot, too.
Giannis says
no, that's not true. No, I'm just telling you. That dad is an idiot, and no, if you think he's an idiot, no, you're not. An idiot, too.
I will say that his dad is always on the court.
I will say this. We all have met his dad, and he has.
His dad's always on the court.
No, he should be on the court.
You don't have
an entitlement because your son is playing
bro,
to
listen,
be on the court.
Hold on, time out. He's
There's
always
no
on the court.
He should be on the court.
I don't care. He's always on the court.
He should not be on the court talking to other players.
Bro.
There you go. So whether Shaq was trying to make the point that he's used to it now and that somehow gives him some leeway, either way, it shouldn't be there. End of story. And you heard Kenny and Charles basically saying as much.